Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life. Hey everyone, it's Pei here from the Faith Life team at St. Andrew's Cathedral, taking over from our regular host, Jenny, for today. With us today, we have Anil David and Gina Tan from Agape Connecting People. Anil is the founder of Agape, which provides call center services running from the Singapore prison system. Its goal is to create opportunities for inmates as well as other marginalized groups in our community, such as physically challenged people, single moms, senior citizens, and even ex-offenders. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And Gina came out of the banking industry and joined on as a senior operations manager for the more recently opened call center out of the women's prison. So we will be talking to both today, starting off with Anil. Okay, Anil, so I'm sure people are curious, a call center inside the prison, there's got to be a story behind this.
Thank you for having me today on the show. The journey is really a rather interesting journey, and how that a call center started up. I was serving a very long sentence in the prison cell, and the one thing that we all had was time. And at point of time when we had time for long years, 8 years to go, the first thing that I came was introduced to was the Bible. And the Bible was, I was beginning to read cover after cover because I was hungry. When I realized that this is the real God, a person that I think that I could know, and that's when my life began to transform through the Word of God. So I was working in a call center in the old prison. There was a very small little one that was going on, and I had this opportunity to learn my skill. At that point of time, I was almost in my late 30s, and my highest education was a secondary school. I would probably want to disqualify myself just to share with you how God can bring the lowly and put them into a position where you will manifest His glory. That's His work. So I saw a lot of inmates that were so street smart and probably smarter than normal people, but just that the skills were all used for the wrong reasons, and there was a huge human capital there. And I said, okay, so that's where my journey came. As the years went by, I was always toying and thinking, you know, what am I going to do with my life? By the time I'm released from prison, I'm about 40, a bankrupt, secondary education. And I think you can't survive with all these things, kind of resume that I have, and even being an ex-con, it's very difficult to get a job. Wow. But I dreamed a dream basing on God's promises. I came, and every time when I reached the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 22, his time always stood there. Because it's like that story was screaming in me and telling me, that's what I'm going to do in my life. Now, what's that story? We all know David was a wanted man. He was the second most powerful man after the king. And he was hiding in a cave called Adullam, called as place of refuge. And there, 400 people who were bankrupt, no vision, no purpose and meaning in life came in that place. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, you go and look for a wanted man. And over there, every time when I read there, something told me that God's going to bring this group of people into my life. And that's where it's going to be. But I never thought that it would be far more than I can ever imagine or even fathom that I would be where I am doing what I'm doing, because my thoughts and dreams were small, but God had bigger plans. My thoughts was that, hey, I might go out, I'll just probably set up a small little call center, hire some handicaps or ex-offenders, be, you know, have a staff strength of 10, 15, and be happy and contented. But from that thought that I had and a dream, God has multiplied. We almost have about 200 people working.
Wow.
So, and you know what? When people today may think the mention of a prison call center, but I dare to say that our clients, I tell you, from the logistics side, from the telco, from the healthcare, from the insurance and many other industries have testified the fact the work that is coming out of the prison is of high quality and it's of high value to their clients, and therefore the business is growing. Now, people who have lost a lot, and because of my past, it has become a leverage for me. Mm-hmm. It has been a way to connect with this group of people to bring the best out. And I'm witnessing a lot of people getting that example and moving forward and succeeding in life.
So it's like God just using what was broken and rebuilding. He rebuilt your life and he even multiplied the brokenness.
Exactly. Right? You know, I'm probably more broken from the age of 8 until one series after another. But you know what? God's grace is so wonderful mm-hmm. that if he could do something like this to me in my life, I think he can do it to many
lives.
Other people who are just need to be available.
Yeah, that is a great, just a great picture, I think, of how there is hope for everyone, really. I mean, that God's arm is not too short to redeem, to bring beauty from ashes, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, there was once when we had an office in our city as well, and when I was really starting up, and it was difficult to get funding, and it's never easy. I remember, right, we have about almost 20 staff in our city office, and about almost 80% of them were senior citizen, handicapped, and ex-offenders. For the first time, I didn't have the money to pay them the salary. And I was the last minute, I said, my God is going to provide. He's going to provide. I was never, when time 3 o'clock came, the check didn't come from the client. It didn't come. But then what happens? Do I doubt God? I didn't actually. And you know what? I say, this is my responsibility. I have to go and tell every one of them. Now, this is the most powerful lesson that God taught me. I went there and I told, first I got our accounts to ensure that everyone had a little bit of money to tide them through for 2-3 days until our clients pay. And they all stand up and I say, you know what? I have failed you all. I'm not able to pay you your salary for the first time. And that was 2013. And you know what?
So that's about a year into the
2013. Okay. Just after I started off in 2012.
Okay.
And you know what? I see a hand coming up. I remember Uncle Pua, who was on a wheelchair, an elderly person. He said, boss, I don't need the money. Please transfer to Angela because she's got a kid. One by one, everyone was telling, do it for that person.
Wow.
And that broke me because I realized God taught me a lesson that, you know what, this group of people are just different from the corporate world. Mm. And he gives me more reason to drive this vision further.
Yeah, like they're in it for the purpose, not just some bottom line, a single bottom line, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And our philosophy has been this. We have been mitigating and trying to grow our business, not on merits of a pity party or give us a chance.
Right,
but we've been engaging our clients on a professional level because we give a professional outcome. And that has resonated. And that is one of the reasons the business is growing at quite a fast pace.
And that really restores the dignity to the work because it's not just charity,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like handouts and all.
That's right. I'm not an advocate of charity because I believe work is important because it brings dignity. Because dignity is very, very important for this group of people. And we have been investing. We don't change people. I don't believe in changing people. But I believe that we want to invest in an environment, which we have been doing, mm-hmm. like Garden of Eden. If you invest in an environment, people will change because the environment changes people.
Right. It's like the culture just
exactly.
mounts.
Identity, when people are not judged by your past or your present, but people will look at you as an equal. Mm. And I find that's something that has resonated and is our culture that works for us.
Well, that's great. What a fantastic story of what is going on where people have no idea what is going on.
Yeah.
You know,
there are three pillars that I've I've lived with that has been the ethos of this success. And I've been following this and I share this with everybody. First is that I surround myself with good people, people who would have my interest in their heart, the good people, you know. And secondly, I've been doing one thing and I'm doing it wholeheartedly so that I can remain focused. And thirdly is, it's not what others think of me, but it's what I think of myself. As I draw an example from Peter, he came to a point that is what he think of himself, that he could do greater things in God. So not what others think of him.
And that what he thought of himself was not grounded in some self-talk. It's like what going back to God and how he sees you.
Yes.
And how he sees your future.
Yes.
And from there you live your life out toward, right? I mean, you see yourself that way, you see other people that way,
yes.
Right?
We have impacted about 468 people, and every month we are adding about 5 more to our numbers. When we mean by impact, right, we basically impact them to make them ready to be employable in our call center. One thing I can assure you is that people who run through our program in the prison, they have a higher chance of succeeding. Because the work that they do in prison not only is a skill, but it's a life skill. What do I mean by that? We have agents, right? Some of the ladies work for us. You know, we've got customers that come screaming on the phone because someone along the line at some place have messed up the representation. So they have to handle of it, but they are trained to calm. And we touch this. How does it feel to solve the problem of a client? They say the feeling is liberating. It's good. It's really awesome. You know what? Not knowing they're learning to love a life, learning a life skill about solving problems. And if they have,
and it's very real time. Exactly, it's not some staged thing.
Yeah, because if you they stay, if they're not working, they're locked up 23 hours. And you know, whatever transformed your mind will actually be the real person. So what we are doing, we're taking them out of the cells and we give them work, we put them through a program, work ethics, public speaking, problem solving, customer service. This is actually transforming their mind. As Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing, transforming and renewing their mind with work ethics and ethos. Therefore, they can succeed not only in work, but in life as well.
Right. And how do you see this? Because they're all from a family, right? They're either the child of somebody or they have children themselves. Do you see this trickling down into their communications with their family?
Yes.
And
you know,
any stories there?
I share with you, there was this father who was in a men's prison and he's been in and out of prison for a couple of times. So I've asked him, do you have your visit? He said, no. I say, why not? I say, my family doesn't want anything to do with me and my son is in secondary school. I say, what did you write? And he says, I don't know what to write because they're not visiting me for a couple of years now. And then he wrote, I say, why don't you write about the work that you do? So here is the father writes about to his son, dear son, I know you're in secondary school and you got to use the internet. I suggest you use this particular telcos because the promotion is good. Because there's a work that he's doing. The son replies, asking the father, how did you know this? And you know, that actually connected a father and son because of a common topic. And now they have regular visits.
Wow.
So the son identifies the father. There's some sort of dignity in the whole work that he do. Yeah, it does. Families are just being reconciled in small ways.
Thanks for sharing that story. I mean, it really is making me reflect on the name of your company, which is Agape, Unconditional Love,
yes.
Right? I mean, and how it ripples into... I know it started with your life, and now it's rippling into the lives of the people on your team.
Yes.
Right? I mean, can you share a bit more about the name,
sure,
Agape?
Agape is very much embedded into my wife. My wife actually waited for me for 8 years. And in that period of waiting, I saw her dedication. I saw the agape love. You know, at some point of time, I've tasted the kind of love that she showed and she waited unconditionally for me.
She forgave, she let go.
And because of that, it was easier to fall in love with the love of Christ. there was a harmony between these two, that I could actually experience one for my wife. And I said that, hey, I want to put this agape as a name, but we were not decided until me and my wife put it out and said, let's wait upon the God, wait upon the Lord for the right confirmation. And I remember me and my family were out on a short little retreat. At about 4 o'clock, there's this girl comes out wearing a t-shirt called agape, and we got it as a confirmation, and the word agape was buttered.
Wow. So I hear that there was a women's call center that was opening up it opened up this year, right? In March.
It was opened up last year in December.
Oh, in December. 6th. Okay.
And, when we wanted to start the women's prison, it was a challenge. It took us about 1.5 years to actually finally roll out our plans to do this. There were a lot of hurdles. Most of the hurdles, I would say, are all related to the spiritual realm. For 1.5 years, there were 3 main important things, right, that were the biggest challenge for us to play it forward. The first, do we have the business or the clients to run, use the services of the women's prison? Secondly, we needed to ensure that we get the right person, to drive the vision. It's not about me. It's about the vision that we represent.
Right.
And the third most important reason was the funding, because to start it up was really a huge financial commitment. But all 3 came around. All 3 happened.
Wow.
And you know what? Most importantly, it was the person that we need to identify. Then I met one of my church members, Gina, who was an ex-banker. And our relationship as brother and sister started. And, you know, one day I just tell her, hey, why don't you come over and watch what I do and have a look at it? And she came down. She sat down in a training. And it took her about 6 to 8 months to decide why the delay. Because this is what I told her. If this is a calling for you, and if this is what God has placed in your heart, you have to wait upon God.
Right.
I cannot give you an answer.
Yes.
Because it must come from God if this is really something. Because this is a different world. We are dealing with people who have a lot of baggage. It will consist a different kind, more so requires a lot of God's grace to actually work in this environment. So she waited upon God. And when she finally came on board, when God has spoken to her, we sat down together with my HR and CEO, and we sat down and had a conversation, and that's how she came on board. Gina has been a blessing, not just only to the company, but even personally to me, because I've not seen someone with servant leadership like the way she does. And she has displayed those qualities, and something that really teaches me and humbles me a lot. You know, she's probably one lady when we go down to the women's prison call center, she's so fast to make coffee and give us, and she knows that I don't take sugar. She doesn't need to do this.
Yeah,
and I've seen her exercising the same kind of leadership with even her colleagues. And I think I'm fortunate.
And she carries that whole service-oriented DNA that you started with, right?
Yeah. Even I don't tell her every time on these things, but I've seen and observed, and I always thank God for...
What a blessing. I mean, that both of you are so aligned in your vision and in your heart for the work. Well, we also have Gina here today, as mentioned, and we are going to have her share a bit more about her work in the women's prison. Gina?
Hi, Pei. Now, for my part, right, I had a 1-year sabbatical. I was very determined to do what God wants me to do. And so I know that I can't have my own agenda. So I prayed about it for that 1 year. And so on the 2nd of July, I was invited by Anil to observe a training that he's conducting for the women's prison. So I was asking God, like, hey, what is this? You know, it's such a hassle to walk into the prison and I didn't want to waste my time. You know, as a banker, I was so performance oriented even during my sabbatical
deadlines.
And so I say, the reason, but is this the thing? Is this that thing that God wanted me to do? So on that very morning when I was doing my devotion, and Isaiah 6:8 actually jumped at me. Yeah, and I was like, oh, is this the verse for me? And then when I observed Anil's training, I was thinking, I wrote down 5 things that I should train the girls on, relationship, you know, and things like that. And subsequently, I fast and pray about it. And the same verse came back again and again. And so as much as I told HR that I'm totally not comfortable working in a prison, but it was quite clear by then that it's what God wants me to do. And I told God that I want to dream the dream that you have for me, not the dream that I want in my flesh. And so, yeah, here I am with Agape, like since 29th of October last year. Yeah. Yes.
Thanks for sharing that little story of how you arrived on the scene right when Anil was praying and needing, you know, I think just a reminder that God pays for what he wants to happen in all our lives. Maybe you can even let's get into some of the I'm sure some people are wondering, like, what is a prison call center like? Are people actually in an office, or, you know, maybe you can shed light on what it's like to run a call center.
I was a consumer banker, so to really know how a call center is like, I would think that because in banking we see customers face to face, but in a call center, it is a typical call center as per Joseph and Anil, and I probably walked into my previous bank's call center, and basically the people who are running it are the inmates, and I would say that they are actually very simple. It's just that the circumstances that they are in, that's the consequences that they are facing in the prison. And to my surprise, right, I actually learned a lot from the prisons. I was sharing with Anil that there's this lady that shared with me how she turned herself in, and she called the police and said that, I'm surrendering myself. That story really touches me a lot. And it was during that few months of dry season that I asked God, I'm here running operation day in, day out. Am I supposed to touch life? Like, I needed something from God to tell me that, hang on, you're on the right track. And this lady came about and shared with me that, you know, Gina, I'm different from the rest of them because I chose to be here. I called the police and I know that I'll be here. And that story just, I learned, you know, one word, courage. I was like, will I ever have such a courage that sometimes we don't even, like, feel shy about giving up our seats in the train, you know, things like that.
Let alone turning ourselves in and confessing.
So in a call center, and it's amazed how inmate with a secondary two qualification can do so well, because I've always shared with people that any one of these inmates, if I have to interview them with my lenses as a banker, I will probably not onboard any single one of them. Tattoos, piercings, the language, and it's just so amazing after like October, and like we are operating for 7 months already. I see how some of them transform for the last 6 months. It's really amazing.
Yeah, yes. Actually, we were chatting a bit earlier with Anil. The difference that being in prison makes to the focus on the work, maybe you can share a little bit about that. Like, you've come from the banking side, you've come from, now you're inside four walls.
So previously I have to like ask, where are my RMs? Like, oh, having a smoke break or having extended lunch. But in the call center, they are very focused. And so I'm very proud that with the so-called the SLA and the KPI that they're achieving for the call center. Yeah. Of course, we have our challenges.
Right.
With ongoing programs, and they do need to be excused for hospital visits. Yeah. And every Thursday, the family comes to visit them. And
oh, every single Thursday, it's a set.
Every Thursday is a visit day.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. So there are challenges, but in terms of performance, I am really... Initially, I was wondering, oh, when I look at them, I was like... So it's really an upside-down kingdom for me to be inside a prison, you know, looking at... And God just showed me as... there was one day when I was driving, God just showed me this word, from ashes to beauty. And I know that is something for me to turn ashes into beauty. And as I look back, I'm constantly surprised. Yeah. So as I look back and I joined the dots, I was like, wow. You know, why did God pick me to be here? It was really a shift in my, also my whole, it really humbled me a lot, where I came from. Yeah, so a lot of learning and unlearning for me as well.
Yeah, which I'm sure just draws you closer to the Lord, right? As you're crying out for wisdom.
You know, I'm more familiar with Orchard Road, CBDs and Marina Bay Financial Centres than Changi Prison.
You know what? When I mentioned earlier that we say we are Agape, we are fortunate to have Gina on board. As a fact, you know, sometimes when we do certain things, we feel that, am I being impactful? We know we have these doubts that creeps into everyone.
Yes.
But to set the record straight on this, right? You know, Gina has showcased a character that is selling to the girls that are seeing and watching her.
Mm.
And when we feel we're not doing or we're just not impacting, character sells. Because when your character is the fifth gospel, lives will be transformed.
That's a great.
So we should not feel, Gina, you should not feel our character is the one that will withstand the test of time. And that's what's actually, you are consistent and firm. And that's the fifth gospel to me.
Yeah.
That's a
great reminder. Yeah. And people, and they're watching, right? They're watching your lives.
Exactly.
And
the world is watching.
Yeah.
You know, people come to know God because they will only do this when they watch and observe.
Right.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure there's listeners out there who are inspired now by two people who are laying down their lives in just very faithful ways. And they're thinking, I have this burden growing in my heart. What words would you say to encourage them, you know, about radical causes and taking risks, walking it out? I mean, what words of advice do you guys have?
We have about 200 people that we have been employing. And to those who would like to be part of this vision, and if you think that you would like to come forward, what we need is more business on a professional level, because this 200 can be 2,000. And this is what my personal reach out to people who would like to be part of this vision, where we can empower more people. Our vision is to empower up to 2,000 people.
Gina, what about?
Okay, that's what Ani would say as a founder and, you know, as the boss of Agape, right? I mean, for me, generally, I would think that I have been, for the longest time, running away from what God truly wants me to do. And I think that 1 year sabbatical, I need to remove my hats as a banker or whatever it is that I'm wearing, and just really be obedient to Him. And so what I learned is that when I hear from God, the very first instruction that I said yes, and I take that step, not knowing what is next, I think that is obedience.
Mm.
Like even where I do not know what is ahead and what is next, like why, what a big change from being a consumer banker to the prison. And so I constantly ask what is next. Yeah, but I guess from the very heart of what God wants is really our obedience.
Right.
Not as a banker where I could challenge myself, oh, tie 20%, etc. That's not difficult. But really to put, remove my hats as whoever I am and just clearly listen to God and just take that next step and the next step and the next step. I would think that that's most precious to any daughters and son of God.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like doing something starts with just listening and then obeying what you hear.
Yes. In Hebrew, it's shama.
Mm.
Just yes. listening to obeying, because a lot of time we filter, we listen, and we use our the lenses of the world to
matrix
listen.
Of decision exactly. matrices.
And, you know, I constantly ask myself, like, I challenge God, why me? I'm a single mother. Why do you have to put me in a prison? You know, I need money more than any other people, right? I have two kids to bring up. But you see, God, God's curriculum for me now, my season is to be in a prison. And so that's my curriculum as of now. I seriously do not know what's next.
Gina, don't forget to give me a ride in your chariot when you're in heaven.
Hey. Well, thank you both for being here today. I think it just reminded us that, honestly, good business starts with our own stories. Yes. It starts with obedience to the Lord. It starts with service to other people, those in our community. Just great reminders from both of you. So we really appreciate
thank you for
both
having
of you
us.
Sharing.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.